good morning, everybody. So we got some snow on the way here. 1 to 3 inches, as Ray Stajic, our weather guy, has been telling us. So if you're commuting, you want to keep your eye on that. Now, I'm looking out the window right here in the West Village. Nothing so far, Len. What's it like out there in Long Island where you are?
Rain. So far, it's rain. Now, Ray was saying it was going to turn over, you know, but we'll see. We'll have Ray on a little bit later on, live as well, and we'll talk to him about it.
Pretty dicey where you are, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know. I may have to stay in today. Actually, it's going to rain today, all right?
All right, there you go. So, anyway, keep your eye on the snow, folks, and just be careful if you're driving to work and when you're going home, too. Also, in the Big Three, Biden had a press conference, first in almost a year, actually. Managed to stand up there for 2 hours. I give him credits for that. But he got a little confused about Ukraine and what he's going to do with Vladimir Putin. This is a big issue, folks. Putin is a bad dude, okay? And he wants to reconstitute, Russia's power in Europe. And he's going to do that by invading countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union. And he's amassed 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. And basically, Biden said yesterday, go for it, Vlad. Do whatever you want to do. We're not going to stand up to you. That's what Biden said. I mean, he's kind of the Neville.
He's the Neville Chamberlain of America.
That's what he is. That's what he said.
Here's what he said.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
Doesn't sound like a free pass to me.
But how? Did he give you a specific as to what he was going to do? Are we going to go to war over Ukraine? Are we sending our buddy Ron Kuby over there to fight for Ukraine?
I guess it's going
to
be sanctions, but he doesn't. Why would he want to give up all of his divulge all of his cards now? But that's not a free pass. He did make a little flub there with if it's a minor incursion. They had to clean that up later. I mean, if there's an incursion, it's an incursion. It's being like a little pregnant. I mean, that's an incursion. Okay, if it's minor.
Joe Bartlett, you know damn well that Biden and this administration will do nothing if Russia invades Ukraine. They're not going to do
it. You know, I think he just got a little confused, but you can excuse him, but that happens a lot. But because I think they probably have, they've probably worked over these things.
That is all the time.
Yes. But anyway, they probably worked over these scenarios, if they do this, if they do that. And, there are some minor infractions if they send a couple of troops here. We're not going to go to war. We're not going to, so that's what he's talking about. I understood what he was trying to say.
Yeah, well, at least he reads the intelligence reports, unlike some.
Why do we always have to go back to Trump, Len?
Always.
This is our president, darn it.
You cannot.
It's irrelevant.
Pointing it out.
You can't stand up for Biden just by slagging off on Trump again. He's no longer the president.
Just pointing it out. The man reads the intelligence reports.
It's frustrating. Well,
he doesn't understand them. He can't remember them.
There's drool on them when he's done with them, but other than that, it's great. Little spots of Jello here and a tapioca pudding. Rounding out the Big Three. In all seriousness, folks, Mayor Eric Adams, I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt here. We had a terrible young girl was shot there and yesterday, a cop was shot. You see this one in Staten Island? This came through this morning, too. And Eric Adams out there, we got to make the city safe. But he has come up with no firm, specific plan to make the city safe. You would agree with me on that, Len, right? It's just you can't just talk about it. You got to do something about it.
No, I think he's off to a bad start. There's no question. He's got to do something about it. I mean, that's how he campaigned. That's what he ran on. Now he's got to put his money where his mouth is. Absolutely.
I wonder, though. Joe, do you really think that his heart is in it in fighting crime, or do you think he's really kind of a liberal at heart?
No, I mean, it's going to be his legacy. He can't get it under control. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in Sean Spicer, Trump's first press secretary. He also hosts Spicer & Company weeknights on Newsmax, 6 and 9 o'clock. I appear there regularly, and I'm a pretty good guest, I have to say. And he's got a new book out called Radical Nation. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Sean, how are the ratings with Michael Zod? Have you figured it out?
I do. I see them every day. They're fantastic.
There you go. All right.
Thank you, Sean.
Now I said we've been talking offline. I got some ideas. There may be some issues with your show that's holding him back. But that's
what?
That's another story.
What?
Yep, we know who the ratings drag is around here, Sean. We don't have to spell it out. Well, it's obvious. Yep, you know it. All right, so Sean, here's the question. I thought for a long time that your former boss, President Trump, was going to run again. But to be honest with you, when I saw him in that rally in Arizona, for the first time, he seemed a little old to me. His voice wasn't what it used to be. The strength, the vitality wasn't quite there. What do you think?
Well, I've never actually thought about it in that context, but I do think that his resolve is even stronger over the last couple of weeks for a variety of reasons in terms of them coming after him, the Biden agenda, some of the things that President Biden, the January 6th commission are putting towards him. I mean, look, what motivates Trump isn't necessarily what motivates other politicians. The more you come after Trump, the more I think he then wants to actually run and get into the race, which is not necessarily what motivates a lot of politicians. So I think what you're seeing now with these investigations, whether it's Letitia James or the Manhattan DA, get him more motivated than would, say, another politician. So for different reasons, I say he's probably more motivated than less.
Well, Sean, the cynic will say he's motivated by these investigations because once he's sitting in the Oval Office, he's immune. So that's why he wants to get back in office. So he's safe from all this stuff.
Well, and again, that's a separate discussion. But I think the question that Michael was asking is, you know, whether or not he's more motivated or less. The why is a separate discussion. But the reality is it really doesn't matter what the motives are. The question is whether or not he's going to run or not and what that portends for the 2024 election. But, you know, I think short-term wise, 2022 is going to make a big difference, because if he gets a lot of these folks that he's endorsed and feel sort of indebted to him in some political way or not, that's going to A, drive him, and B, give him a lot of political capital going in. Because at the end of the day, right now, aside from Ron DeSantis, there really is no other person that is able to challenge him in any real substantive way. And I would argue that DeSantis, I'm a big DeSantis fan.
Yeah, me too. I like
what he's done as governor. And I would just say that I think DeSantis is young enough. He's still in his first term. And I think that it would be foolhardy to risk losing a run early on in your career like this. So my guess would be DeSantis would say, you know what, I'll let Trump run. And, you know, if he wins, he's term limited anyway. And if he loses, great, I'd run again. But either way, he can run in 4 years. So my guess is that if Trump runs, he gets the field pretty much clear to himself, maybe some nominal opposition. And that's really the discussion that matters right now, because at the end of the day, why he's doing it or whoever else, it sort of, you know, doesn't make a difference to the ultimate outcome.
Mm. All right, Sean, so give us your grade of Biden's performance yesterday at his press conference.
So I'm going to surprise you. I'll give you a mixed bag. I came into this with really low expectations. I give him credit for staying out there for an hour and 54 minutes. I really thought this thing would be just shy of an hour. I thought he'd call on more like 10 or 11 reporters. I was keeping notes as he was going. And then all of a sudden, when he went off script and started to go, okay, let's keep going, I went, oh, my God. I thought Psaki was going to have a coronary. I guarantee you, Jen Psaki had happy hour plans yesterday at 5 o'clock. And she was going, what's going on? So as soon as he started going off script, taking reporters' questions that he wasn't ready for, and going much longer, I'll give him some credit for that. So, I mean, I'll give him, you know, a high D, low C. I think the answers were pretty weak at times. I thought the Russia thing, I heard your discussion. Oh. I'm sorry, when you tell somebody there's nothing, you know, we're going to be really severe, unless it's a minor incursion, and then the White House has to clean it up right afterwards, you know that's a problem. When you say that you've unified the country despite all of the polling showing quite the opposite, that's not good. When you can't really point to any substantial legislative accomplishments, I mean, I give him credit on some stuff in terms of his engagement, but on the substance, I thought it was pretty weak.
So, I mean, did you go into this thing just assuming that he was going to bomb? I mean, just to mention another network, I mean, they were falling all over themselves on Fox. One host over the other to talk about how awful Biden, just awful, the worst. I think you're right. I thought he did pretty well. I give him high D, low C. But did you go in just expecting to trash it?
No. So when I went in, Len, honestly thinking is that it was going to be very scripted. I thought that he would say, you know, he was going to check, for lack of a better word, he would check the box, right? He would go in, he would cover, you know, give a lengthier statement, sort of filibuster, if you will, the press conference, then sort of answer a handful of questions, enough that he could say he held a press conference, and then walk away, but long enough so he could say it was an hour long. So that's why I'm saying I give him some credit for it wasn't a stemwinder opening statement. He made his point and got out, but gotcha. I think the substance, it was sort of like the book report where the teacher says you wrote 10 pages, but you didn't write anything real substantive.
Got to go, Sean. Thanks a lot, but you're fair. I agree with that. Sean Spicer. Check out Spicer & Company weeknights on Newsmax 6 and 9 and buy his book, Radical Nation. Talk to you next week, Sean. Take care. Up next, we got a wild story for you. A TV reporter, she got hit by a car, but she kept on reporting. Question is, was she the traffic reporter? That is all coming up next. Celebrate the best in podcasting at our 2022 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards on Thursday, February 3rd. Almost 100 million people listen to podcasts every month, and we're recognizing the best of the best. Check out over 275,000 of the best podcasts right now on our iHeartRadio app.